It can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do, the people in the spotlight. But what about those small business masterminds who succeed at making their money work harder? They do that by having a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, which now earns 5% annual percentage yield. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
Bloomberg Audio Studios.
Podcasts, radio, news.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Here are the stories we're following today.
Karen, the drop in futures, particularly the NASDAQ futures, follows disappointing results from Meta Platforms. Shares of the Facebook parent are down 13% in early trading. Meta forecast weaker than expected sales in the current quarter while targeting higher capital expenditures. Here's CEO Mark Zuckerberg on the company conference call.
As we're scaling CapEx and energy expenses for AI, we'll continue focusing on operating the rest of our company efficiently. But realistically, even with shifting many of our existing resources to focus on AI, we'll still grow our investment envelope meaningfully before we make much revenue from some of these new products.
CEO Mark Zuckerberg says Meta will spend billions of dollars more than expected this year, fueled by investments in artificial intelligence.
Well, Nathan, the Meta miss is sparking a sell-off in some other high-tech stocks this morning. Shares of Alphabet down about 3%. Microsoft is lower by almost 2%. Both companies report earnings this afternoon.
And IBM shares are plunging as well, Karen. They're down more than 8%. That company's weak consulting unit sales is disappointing investors, overshadowing IBM's acquisition of software firm HashiCorp.
Well, Nathan, we also have a barrage of earnings overseas, particularly in the banking sector. Shares of Barclays are up almost 4%. The British bank posted first quarter revenue that topped analyst estimates. We spoke earlier with Chief Executive Officer C.S. Venkatakrishnan about the volatile rates market.
It is very early. Our numbers are in line with what we said. We've seen deposit growth. We've seen lending growth in mortgages and in credit. And so we're pleased with that. But it's one quarter in a longer journey of 3 years.
And Barclays CEO C.S. Venkatakrishnan says revenue tied to the company's investment banking businesses topped estimates.
Elsewhere in European banks, Karen, Deutsche Bank saw a 7% jump in earnings from fixed income trading in the first quarter. That was more than analysts expected and better than most of the bank's biggest U.S. rivals. Chief Financial Officer James von Moltke hailed strong momentum in Deutsche's investment bank.
We're very pleased with the results there, 13% up year on year. Our FIC business and also within that, the financing business doing very well. So we see very strong momentum and client engagement there. We're also seeing resilience and growth across the other three businesses. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to have a shining star, but seeing resilience on the more balance sheet sensitive businesses of our corporate bank and private bank is encouraging.
Deutsche Bank CFO James von Moltke added that he sees optimism and growth coming back to Europe.
Well, Nathan, on this very busy morning, we also have a huge takeover to tell you about. BHP, the world's largest mining company, has proposed a takeover of Anglo American that values the smaller miner at almost $39 billion. Bloomberg Commodities reporter Martin Ritchie says there's one primary reason for the tie-up.
This is all about copper. BHP is going to become the world's biggest copper miner, and that's because the miners are expecting a big wave of demand for copper. And we've seen over the past few years a number of quite big transactions and a lot of talk about how they want to gain exposure to copper. But this is the first really big deal in the sector.
Bloomberg's Martin Ritchie says BHP's bid for Anglo could prompt other giants to make a move.
And back here in the States, Karen, U.S. chip making is getting another boost from the Biden administration. It is awarding Micron Technology up to $13.6 billion in grants and loans for new memory chip factories in the U.S. Micron has pledged about $125 billion to build four factories in New York State and a fifth in Idaho. President Biden will be in Syracuse for today's announcement, and checking Micron shares and the early trade, they are little change to the upside.
Well, Nathan, let's turn now to a case that could have major implications for the presidential race. Former President Donald Trump continues to insist that he is immune from criminal prosecution for trying to overturn the 2020 election. Now the Supreme Court will hear arguments today on what exactly constitutes a presidential act. Bloomberg's Amy Morris has more from Washington.
Donald Trump argues the charges are all based on actions he took in his official capacity as president. Prosecutors say nothing that Trump did in trying to remain in power despite his loss was conduct of the office. The justices have to try to draw a line between these views. There's not much guidance. An official act of the presidency isn't a term rooted in the Constitution nor criminal statute. And even if Donald Trump is entitled to some immunity for official acts, the federal government maintains there's no basis for his claim for immunity. Meanwhile, the clock is ticking, giving special counsel Jack Smith only a narrow window to put the former president in front of a jury before voters go to the polls November 5th. In Washington, Amy Morris, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, Amy, thanks. While the Supreme Court hears those arguments, former President Trump will be back before a Manhattan jury hearing more testimony in the criminal hush money trial. Bloomberg Law host June Grasso has the latest on that from New York.
David Pecker, the former publisher of the National Enquirer, will be back on the witness stand today. On Tuesday, he told the jury about how he killed stories about Donald Trump's extramarital affairs to boost his 2016 presidential campaign. Today, prosecutors will likely ask him about the hush money payments to Stormy Daniels. The judge has not yet ruled on the prosecution's motion to hold Trump in contempt for violating the gag order on commenting on witnesses in the case. In New York, June Grasso, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, June, thank you. Well, there is a new criminal case tied to the 2020 election. A grand jury in Arizona has issued felony counts against 18 Republicans, including seven attorneys or aides to the Trump campaign, over their efforts to overturn President Biden's win in the state. The defendants include former Trump attorney Rudy Giuliani and ex-White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows. Former President Trump is not facing charges in this case, but he is named as an unindicted co-conspirator.
Meanwhile, Karen, the Arizona House has voted to repeal that state's 1864 abortion law. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has that story.
The almost complete ban on abortions, only to save the mother's life, could go into effect as early as June 8th if it isn't repealed. Republicans have narrow majorities in both chambers, but recent uproars have obviously changed some minds. Did so in the House. The state Senate could take up the repeal vote next week. Two Republicans already say they are supporting it. Governor Katie Hobbs has been urging the repeal. Now, this will add to the heat of the issue nationally, politically. Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, Ed, thanks. And it's time now for a look at some of the other stories making news in New York and around the world. Here's Michael Barr. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Police yourselves. That's from New York City Mayor Eric Adams to protesters on college campuses. Pro-Palestinian demonstrators have been calling on universities to separate themselves from companies supporting Israel's war in Gaza. Police have been making arrests. Critics of the protests say Jewish students have become the victims of violent threats. Mayor Adams says that he's even seen some protesters express support for the militant group Hamas.
Freedom of speech is something that is constitutionally protected, and you can be correct constitutionally, but it's immoral to see some of the terminologies that's being used.
Mayor Adams told WABC there is no room for hate in our city. Yesterday, House Speaker Mike Johnson visited Columbia and called on the university's president to resign, accusing Manoj Shafiq of giving in to pro-Palestinian protesters who have reportedly threatened Jewish students. Speaker Johnson told a booing crowd on the campus he supports free speech but defends Jewish students and Israel.
This is dangerous. This is not free expression. This is not First Amendment. They are threatening, intimidating, saying that they will take violence upon Jewish students. We met with Jewish students who are in fear. They can't come on campus. They can't study for their final exams.
At the University of Southern California, police began detaining pro-Palestinian student protesters without incident. The arrests occurred hours after police at the University of Texas in Austin aggressively took more than 30 demonstrators. This student says he thinks the police presence escalated the protest.
this has evolved way further than it has because of the free speech. I've talked to a few kids here, my friends. Like, I was like, oh, I didn't know you were, like, you know, supporting Palestine. And they're like, no, I just saw all the arrests and think this is crazy.
The arrest came at the request of university officials and Texas Governor Greg Abbott. Representative Josh Gottheimer and other congressional members are seeking committee hearings on New York City's congestion pricing plan. The New Jersey Democrat is calling on a House committee to ask MTA Chief General Lieber to testify about the revenue expected to be collected from the new fee. Global news 24 hours a day and whenever you want it with Bloomberg News Now. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Karen.
All right, Michael Barr, thank you.
You know success when you see it. Or you think you do. The people in the spotlight. Athletes, actors, artists. But what about the people behind the scenes? You know, the ones who make it all happen. The lighting engineers, the sideline photographers, the caterers. They're small business masterminds. And if there's one thing they have in common, it's making their money work harder. That's why they have a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, where they are now earning a generous 5% annual percentage yield. Yes, 5% APY. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
You know, it can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. Invisible struggles like stress and burnout, caregiving for a loved one, or being misunderstood. But insight, awareness, and empathy will help us better see the issues they're dealing with. And that can make us and our companies healthier, too. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
And it's time now for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stashower. John, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. The NFL draft used to always take place in New York. Then they began moving it around the country. It starts tonight in Detroit with the Chicago Bears on the clock. And unless everyone is wrong, they'll take Caleb Williams, who won the Heisman Trophy at USC. Washington and New England have the second and third picks both. Also need a quarterback. Big question is, will the Giants draft a QB either with the sixth pick or after moving up, or will they take a wide receiver to help incumbent QB Daniel Jones? Jets pick 10th, certainly need offensive help, maybe a tackle, or if he's still there, Georgia tight end Brock Bowers. There are mock drafts that don't have a single defensive player going in the top 10. At stadium, Aaron Judge at the plate first inning, and it appeared that he had struck out, but a balk was called. The at-bat continued.
Judge back in the box. The pitch hit in the air. Deep right field. Butler looking back at the wall. It is gone. A home run. Aaron Judge back in the batter's box. Extended life. And he parks it into the porch in right field.
On WFAN, later home run for Anthony Rizzo and Juan Soto. Yankees beat the A's 7-3. Four-game series ends tonight. The Mets road trip ended with an 8-2 win at San Francisco. Francisco Lindor off to that miserable start. Busted out. Pair of two-run homers. Upset in Boston where the Celtics lost only four times all season. The Miami Heat, playing without the injured Jimmy Butler, drained in 23 three-pointers and won 111-101, tying the series at one. Oklahoma City, who won Game 1 from New Orleans by 2 points, won Game 2 by 32. Knicks and Sixers play Game 3 tonight in Philadelphia. The Nets formally introduced their new coach, Jordy Fernandez, has been an assistant in Sacramento. Stanley Cup playoffs, three wins by road teams. Boston, 4-2 in Toronto. L.A., 5-4 in overtime at Edmonton. And Vegas, 3-1 at Dallas. The Stars, top seeds in the West, but now trailing their series 2-0. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports, Karen and Nathan.
Coast to coast on Bloomberg Radio, nationwide on Sirius XM, and around the world on Bloomberg.com and the Bloomberg Business app. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager. A Meta miss is dragging tech stocks lower this morning. The Facebook and Instagram parent company did come in with a slight beat on revenue in the first quarter, but it's the outlook for sales in the current quarter and promise of big spending for the rest of this year that is raising new questions and perhaps some investor concerns about CEO Mark Zuckerberg's plans beyond the social network. For more, we're joined by Bloomberg's Alex Webb. Alex, good morning. Not so good a morning if you are a Meta investor. It does seem like this idea of spending up to $40 billion on CapEx for the rest of this year has really spooked investors.
Sorry, excuse me. Yes. Absolutely. Look, there are two pieces to this, maybe three pieces, that it spent the past year or so telling investors that they are now an efficiently run company. They care about costs. The sort of growth at any expense is not their priority anymore. They're really looking at shareholder value. Then not only are we seeing actually a slight change of tack on that, they're pushing some earnings out in order to invest in artificial intelligence and AI infrastructure. But there's also on top of that, a slight softening in revenue. The current quarter we're in coming in a little bit below what the market had been expecting. So the signal they're giving the market is that actually we're a slightly longer duration stock than you thought we were in the current interest rate environment and in appetite for risk. That is not something that investors have a huge amount of appetite for, or at least not the same appetite that they might have had a few years ago.
Certainly seeing that in terms of the action in the stock this morning. I mean, what do you make of Mark Zuckerberg's patience for or call for patience this time around on AI investment? Of course, there's been so much focus on AI monetization as we head through this tech earnings quarter.
I mean, there are a few different ways of looking at this. There's the nature of the messaging, which is that it was pretty abrupt, right? Clearly the market hadn't seen this coming. He could have done a better job, perhaps from a communications perspective, warming the market up to this idea. There might be a little bit more expense than previously anticipated. But then there's also just the general corporate strategy piece. And it's very tempting, presumably, if you're running Meta, to look at the fact that you've got something like $50 billion in free cash flow and say, well, I should spend that on growing. Now, that is what Facebook has been able to do for much of its existence, including as a public company over the past decade or so. We are now in a different sort of environment than the one in which Zuckerberg grew up in as a CEO. That is perhaps an adaptation that he isn't making as readily as some of his peers or indeed some of his investors would like.
Is there room in the ad business, the ad environment, for the ambitions that Mark Zuckerberg is laying out for this kind of CapEx?
Well, the ad market is clearly recovering. When the economy recovers, marketing spends tend to increase. We have seen that with Facebook, that they are growing at the fastest clip in, two or three years. Nonetheless, one of the big questions, big extant questions with AI is kind of how do you monetize it if you have an ad tech business? One of the things with, say, Google search or with Facebook is you're not spear phishing, right? You go in, you are fed lots of different content. Even in Google search, you search something and you might go all the way to the bottom of the page or several pages deep to find the thing that you want. With AI, you're asking a very specific question and expecting to get a very specific answer. The business models for how then to monetize that are still really being worked out. So there is a lot of expense happening here. It might drive user engagement. We have yet to see entirely what the consumer-facing business model is.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak Today, your morning brief on the stories making news from Wall Street to Washington and beyond.
Look for us on your podcast feed at 6 a.m. Eastern each morning on Apple, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
You can also listen live each morning starting at 5 a.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg 1130 in New York, Bloomberg 99.1 in Washington, Bloomberg 1061 in Boston, and Bloomberg 960 in San Francisco.
Our flagship New York station is also available on your Amazon Alexa devices. Just say, Alexa, play Bloomberg 1130.
Plus, listen coast to coast on the Bloomberg Business app, SiriusXM, the iHeartRadio app, and on Bloomberg.com. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Join us again tomorrow morning for all the news you need to start your day right here on Bloomberg Daybreak.
It can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
The countdown has begun. This May, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg, held in conjunction with our official partners, the Qatar Ministry of Commerce and Industry and Media City Qatar, and premier sponsor QNB. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections and gain unique insights. Learn more at QatarEconomicForum.com.